So I want to talk about this passage from the second epistle of Peter, in part because it's sort of ties into what we've been looking at the last three Sundays from 1 Corinthians, and in particular last week. So last week I was looking at Paul going back a week ago, Paul writing to the church in Corinth and saying, when I was with you, I wasn't presenting my preaching and teaching with any sort of fancy words. I proclaimed Christ crucified, and I did it without rhetoric or without wisdom, so that your conversion would stand in the power of God and not in wisdom of humans. And I talked about the need for encounter last Sunday. We need to encounter God. Inhabiting, words are not enough. The words need to lead us to what they point to. The words need to lead us to the reality. And so I see a similar, anyhow, so I stressed encounter. It's possible that you might have gone away going, you know, he's all about encounter, but we really need both. And that's what Peter gives us. And so when Peter, who's writing to correct some errors that were already going around regarding the return of Christ and his glory and his coming kingdom, this is what seems to be, at least because Peter goes on in the next chapter to talk about people scoffing about Jesus coming back. And Peter says, we did not present to you anything that was made up, no cleverly devised tales or fables or myths. Instead, we told you what we ourselves encountered. We encountered the glory of Jesus Christ revealed on the mountain. We heard the voice of God affirming Jesus. And then Peter goes on to say, so there's our encounter, important. And then the verse goes on to say, and we have also Scripture, the word of prophecy. Now there's some interpretive debates around how to translate a couple of the Greek phrases here. The Greek just says we have the prophetic word made. No, we have the prophetic word more sure. So we don't know if the prophetic word is made more sure because of the experience on the mountain. So Peter, having seen Jesus' glory revealed, goes, this is exactly what Scripture is saying. I have more confidence in Scripture. And so that depends on if you think that Peter's experience or experience is more important than Scripture. I tend to go the other way, so I actually had Twyla put in the alternate reading, which is the prophetic word is more sure. Peter's like, but I'm not just coming to you on the strength of my own experience. I encountered God's glory in Jesus Christ, but that's not enough. Here's what you need to remember. The word without encounter is dead. It's sterile. It's not alive. It doesn't have power. But encounter without the word can go anywhere. It's directionalness. It can be subsumed and appropriated by your own desires, and often is. And so we need the encounter informed by the word of God, and I believe that's what Peter is giving us here. We have this encounter with the glory of God in Jesus Christ. God affirmed that this was his anointed one, his chosen one, his beloved son. And then God says, listen to him. And what does Jesus say? Well, if we fast forward to the resurrection, which is what the transfiguration is, an anticipation both of the glory of the resurrection and of the return of Christ in glory, because the resurrection is, of course, an anticipation of the return in glory. And what does Jesus say? I mean, he tries to tell them beforehand, but once in the resurrection, he opens to them in their minds how Scripture, the prophets, Moses, all of Scripture, points to him and talked about the need for the Messiah to die, to suffer, to be raised again, as we say in our creed. And so listen to him is, in part at least, believe what Jesus tells you about what Scripture means or Scripture says. And so I think that we've got this pointing towards Scripture. Even Peter himself, he could if he was being self-reflective. Now, Matthew leaves Peter off the hook here because Matthew wants to present a slightly different vision of this transfiguration. But the other Gospels tell us that Peter says, because he doesn't know what to say, oh, let's build some booths here for you. And God says, Peter, that's not the right response. It's Jesus. This is about Jesus. Listen to him. It's not about Elijah, Moses, and Jesus. It's about Jesus. So Peter, if he was self-reflective, would say, that experience by itself would not have got me very far. I would have started my own religion. But I'm not starting my own religion. I'm following Jesus. And I know that I'm following Jesus because I've been informed by Scripture, the Jewish Scripture. Today, of course, we can include the Christian Scriptures. And my understanding of what occurred on that mountain and the rest of the life of Jesus, including, of course, his crucifixion, which we didn't understand at the time. Again, Peter would say that if we had him in conversation. The Gospels tell us that. Jesus tries to tell him several times, listen, here's what's happening. They don't understand it. They completely miss it. They change the subject. And Peter says, all of that good experience with Jesus would have got me nowhere until the word of Scripture was opened up to me. And it's this combination of encountering Christ and the word that speaks about Christ that brings saving knowledge, that brings faith. We need them both. Peter goes on to say, and this is unlike a lot of times in Scripture, we just sort of arbitrarily pick a passage. Well, not we. The lectionary arbitrarily picks a passage. This really is a self-contained thought in Peter. It begins and ends. I mean, it's tied to the rest of the context, but it begins and ends. Peter says, we didn't devise this thing. It's not cleverly created fables. We didn't dream this stuff up. We encountered the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Scripture confirmed that as we were drawn into or had our minds opened to the teaching of Scripture. And Scripture is to be trusted because no prophecy is a product of human interpretation. Instead, they spoke, carried along by the Spirit of God. Men spoke of God, carried along by the Spirit. And that's the confidence that Peter has, and that's the confidence that he's trying to give his people. I think Peter, even if he could have trusted his own experience, knew that writing to these people, he couldn't say, you need to believe me because I had this experience. Peter's like, that's not going to cut anything with anybody else. My experience doesn't mean a whole lot to you. What I need to do is give you Scripture and give you confidence in Scripture and challenge any understanding that might minimize the authority of Scripture or the trustworthiness of Scripture. And then I trust that just like myself, for whom Jesus opened Scripture up so that he was revealed, that too will be your experience. That in the Word, when you approach the Word of God confidently as the Word of God, trustworthy, and when you submit yourself to the authority of the Word of God, the encounter with Christ will come. Now, let's face it, that's all I have as a preacher. I can't make this work. I don't even try. Well, okay. I try some days. I can't make it happen for you. Together, you and I can stand and say, listen. And hopefully, behold, right? But Jesus, or the Spirit, or God, has to make that happen. We need the encounter with God. It needs to be informed by Scripture. An encounter with God without Scripture becomes some new religious tradition. It becomes an offshoot, a deviant. If we're Christian, it becomes a deviant expression of God. If you want to start your own religion, knock yourself out. But if you want to follow Jesus, your encounter needs to be informed by the Word of Scripture. Now, here's the thing that happened in the resurrection, because this shows us, and that's more closely to our experience. Because in the resurrection, the life and person of Jesus was released from the confines of human limitations. That is, Jesus is no longer located in time and space and limited by a body, a physical body, a natural human earthly body. And we too now have access to Jesus the way that his disciples did to the resurrected Christ. And here's what happened in the resurrection appearances. The road to Emmaus, that story in the end of Luke, gives it to us probably the best. These people are walking away from Jerusalem, two of Jesus' disciples, distraught that Jesus has died. All their hopes have crashed. A stranger joins them. They say, you know, they get into conversation after they invite him into their house, and he breaks bread for them. He's revealed to them as Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and they say to themselves, did not our hearts burn within us when he was talking with us along the way? And what was Jesus talking about along the way? How Moses and the prophets and the rest of the writings, all of Scripture, had pointed to Jesus and had talked about his need, he must suffer in order to enter glory. But they didn't see Jesus, though they were attracted and impelled and compelled by Scripture, until the Spirit lifted the veil on their eyes, and their eyes were opened, and they saw Scripture. They saw Jesus. And then all this began to make sense. All this came crowding back. Oh, of course. Oh, that makes so much sense. Right. You know, like boom, boom, boom. Things fell into place. Andre Love, a writer I've been spending a lot of time with, through his book, that is, his books. Anyhow, he talks about how these post-resurrection experiences are the norm now for encountering Jesus. People needed the body of Christ. They need the physical presence of Christ in the post-resurrection experiences. Even Mary in the garden needs to have Jesus come up to her. And she doesn't know who he is. She thinks he's the gardener. And he says her name. And it's the word and the presence of Jesus that create faith, that create insight. It's not just being in Jesus' presence. They can miss Jesus. And Love says, it's still true today. You can miss Jesus. There's no guarantee. But it's a combination of being in the presence of Jesus and the word that opens us up. And then Lauf, a good Catholic, points us to the table and the ministry of the word. And he says, every time we gather, we have this. We have the word that points us to Christ, and we come and we receive. And Jesus says, this is my body, which is given for you. And I say, amen. And I touch the body of Christ. And informed by the word, I'm renewed in my faith. I'm strengthened. Faith begins. Faith flowers wherever you are on that journey. Still the same today, says Lauf. We encounter the resurrected Jesus the same way his first disciples did, by being in his presence and having the word open our heart and mind to what it is that we're doing. You come without the word, you just have some pretty tasteless bread. It's not even bread. We call it a wafer. I don't know what it is, really. It's a bread product, I suppose you might say. Just like fast foods, you know, meat products, this kind of stuff. There's a bread product, but with the word, this is my body. And our assent, amen. You know what amen means? Yes, it is. So be it. Yes, I agree. This is the body of Christ. That's why we say amen when we receive it. So brothers and sisters, this Lent, I would encourage you to do three things. First of all, if you have any desire to meet God, anticipate and desire an encounter with God. Secondly, One of the disciplines in Lent is to study Scripture. I know, it sounds weird. You can give up chocolate, or you can do something really hard and study Scripture. It might be better. It depends. Some of you should give up chocolate, maybe, but others of you should be studying Scripture. Grow in your understanding of God. The Word. Get into the Word. Take your desire for encounter. Get into the Word. And thirdly, keep Lent with that desire and that commitment. Not encounter only. We've all had our encounter weekends. They trail out by Tuesday, no? Can. The Word is an abiding comfort and guide and light for us, and one that we are remiss if we let slide, if we don't take advantage of. And you have every advantage. 115 different translations, all available on your cell phone. If you don't know how to do that, ask me at the door. I'll point you very easily. There's no lack, no limitation to your access to the Word. Keep a holy Lent. Name that desire for God and anticipate encounter with God and grow in your understanding. And then, brothers and sisters, we will be the people of God that God's intent and purpose is for us here at St. Barnabas and in Medicine Hat in the body of Christ, bringing glory to His name. Amen.